Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the 22nd day of Marcheshvan, Tovshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Yevamos, Perek Revi, Mishnah Gimel. As a background, let's explain about the properties that are brought into a marriage. There are a number of different categories. First of all, there is what's called the ksuba. When we talk about a ksuba, we mean normally the contract that the husband writes to the wife, obligates himself to the wife in various things. But generally, the ksuba in the main refers to the amount of money that's designated for the particular woman. If she's a basula, if she's an unmarried woman, if first time married, then it's 200 dinar. And if it's a woman that's already been married before, then it's 100 dinar. Okay. And what is this obligation? Upon the death of the husband, or upon the husband divorcing the wife, she's entitled to that money of the ksuba. We call that just the ksuba. Then we have the properties that a woman brings into the marriage that are of two types. Type one, nichsei milug. These are properties, literally, that means that you pluck, like a chicken, she plucks, or he plucks. What are these properties? These are properties that are not written in the ksuba, but these are properties that she inherits or is receiving as a gift after marriage, or properties that she brings into the marriage. Now, these properties are hers. The husband is not liable, is not responsible for maintaining the capital value, but he only has one right to them, and that is enjoyment of those properties. We call it achilas peiros, eating the fruits. Literally, it means eating the fruits, but it means he can enjoy the property, he can rent it, he can rent the property, but he has no responsibility to maintain the capital value, and he cannot sell them. He cannot sell them. They are basically her properties. He has just the enjoyment of them. Type two, we call them nichsei tzoin barzel. Nichsei tzoin barzel means they're like ironclad properties. These are properties that a woman brings into the husband, and they are written in the ksuba. They are the dowry. These properties, the husband can not only enjoy the use of them, but he's allowed to trade, sell them, buy them. He can do what he wants. He can do business. He can trade them, but with one qualification. He is obligated to maintain the capital value. He must maintain the capital value of them. Our Mishnah is now going to talk about what is the law of the ksuba, the properties of the nichsei milug, and the properties of nichsei barzel in a situation where a woman is a shemeres yovam, which means she's a woman, she's a widow, her husband has died without children, and she's waiting for the yovam, for her brother-in-law, to come and do the levirate marriage, to come and do the mitzvah yibum. And whilst she's waiting, how do we deal with these properties? That's what our Mishnah is going to talk about. Shemeres yovam, a woman who's waiting for the yovam, for her brother-in-law to do yibum to her. Shenoflu la nechosim, and she received properties from her father's house while she was still in that state of shemeres yovam, waiting for the yovam to come and live with her. Moedim beis shamay besil, both parties agree. There's no machlokes in this. Shemecheres v'nosenes v'kayom. She can sell, she can give them away, and it's valid. Whatever she does is valid. While she's a shemeres yovam. Mesa. Now, what happens if she dies when she's still in a state of shemeres yovam? And now we have to deal with all these properties. Mayasu b'ksubasa. What do we do with the money of the ksuba that's promised to her in the case that he dies, but now she died? What do we do with the properties of Tzoin Barzel, those ones which are like ironclad guarantee, he has to guarantee their value? So the Mishnah says as follows, Uvinchosim hanichos nosin v'yotzinima. And also, how do we deal with the nichsei milug? Nichsei milug are these properties that she brought in from her father's household, or that she inherited after marriage, she died before the yovam. What do we do with them? Who's going to inherit them? Now, who are the parties that are vying for these properties, for these assets? The two parties involved are the Yorshei Habal, the heirs of the husband, which is, according to most Mepharshim, it is the Yovam, it is the brother of the deceased brother, and her father, or the Yorshim of her father. Because the halacha is, when a father loses a daughter, he inherits the daughter. And if he's dead, then it'll be his closest relatives. So now we've got them both vying for these properties. And the problem here is that she is a Sofik Nesua. A Yavama is like in that grey area. Is she married yet? Is she not married yet? She's waiting for the Yavam. So for this reason, what happens is as follows. Beis Shammai Yomrim Yachloiku Yorshei Baal Im Yorshei Av. Beis Shammai of the opinion that the heirs of the husband, that is the brother, the surviving brother, and the heirs of her father will equally divide the property. Because it's a Sofik, so we say each one gets half of all the properties. Ubeisil Lemir Beisil say, no, we have to look at what is the nature of the properties that are under discussion. Nechosim bechezkosim. There are two ways of learning it. We'll learn it like Tosfos learns it. Nechosim bechezkosim. The properties will be judged according to how they are muhsak. Who's holding on to them now? And we'll explain. And the Mishnah explains. Kisuba, the money that the husband promised her in the kisuba, that obligation, the 200 zuz or the 100 zuz, that bechezkas Yorshei Habal, that will belong to the Yorshei Habal, to the heirs of the husband, to the brother. Why? Because the husband was muhsik on it. Any husband who writes a ksuba, he's holding on to that money until the time comes to pay for it. So it's in his possession. He's got possession in it. And in this case, it'll be the surviving brother. He will keep that money of the ksuba. Nechosim, because nechosim hayinichnosim v'yotzim ima. But the properties that go in and out with her, which are the nichsei miloig, these are the properties that a husband could only have the rights of enjoyment, but effectively it's really, really hers. That will be bechazkes Yorshei Ha'av. That'll be that is under the chazaka of the heirs of the father of the woman of the shemeres yavam, and that will not go to the surviving brother who's doing yavam, who's going to do yavam. This is a case, of course, where she is shemeres yavam. I forgot to say that the nichsei tzon barzel, those properties which the husband has to guarantee the capital value and which he has full rights of enjoyment and selling, buying, that will also go to the heirs of the husband. That's also the chazok of the husband, of the baal. Okay, so Mishnah Gimel dealt with the shemeres yavam whilst she's waiting for the yavam to perform the levirate marriage. And as we said, she's a Sofik Nesua, and we have a Machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beisil. How do we deal with it? Beis Shammai say half-half, and Beisil say you have to look and see what is the nature of the property, of the assets. Coming to Mishnah Dalad, we deal with what happens with the Yavama after she's had Yibum done to her. Knossa, says Mishnah Dalad, what happens once the Yavam has married, has consummated the Yibum, he's actually now lived with the Yavama. And once that happens, Harehi ki ishto l'chol davar, says the Mishnah, she is his wife completely in all respects. If he wants to divorce her, she needs a proper get. She does not need any more chalitza. All the zika, all that connection of yibum is all over. Once he's done yibum, she's a regular wife now, a proper, fully fledged wife. And if he divorces her, if he wants to divorce her, he'll have to give her a get. And if he wants to take her back again after divorcing her, providing she hasn't married someone in between, no problem. He can marry her again. And the chiddush of this is that there's no isser of eishes ach. Normally, for a man to marry his brother's wife is absolutely prohibited, unless it's a yibum. But here, in this situation, where there is yibum, not only can he marry a do yibum, he has to do yibum, but if he divorces her, he can retake her again. Uvilvad, but providing, in this one little exception in a sense, that he, in this respect, the following respect, he's not, she's not like his wife, and that is shetahei kesubasa al nichse bali rishon, that her ksuba that she's entitled to will be over the properties of the first husband, because it's not the properties of the yavam that are now going to be mortgaged to the ksuba or a lien on them to the ksuba, but rather the properties of the deceased husband. And that's one thing different to a normal wife. Normally a wife is always has a ksuba and has a mortgage over the properties of the current husband. But here it's over the husband that passed away. If however the husband that was deceased had nothing, had no properties, there was no nechassim in the deceased brother's estate, so then that would be different. Then the Gemara says the Chachamim would enforce the ksuba over the yavam, over the brother, the surviving brother who does yavam.